jump into the Word of God, now that you've readied your heart and said yes to Jesus, speak to me, God. Holy Spirit, come minister to me with my whole heart. I'm going to agree. I'm going to follow and say yes. But today we are in week three of our five-week series called Missing the Mark. And if you've missed any of it, you can jump online. We have a YouTube channel and on our website. You can catch up on the last couple episodes if you want as well. We have a podcast, all that jazz. So you can listen on the go. But here's what we're doing. We're talking about those things in our culture, those beliefs, those perspectives, ideologies that are almost true. Someone say, almost true. But they miss the mark. They miss the mark. Like they sound good and they sound true and they feel right, right? And like kind of nearly Bible-ish, almost right. But they are not true. Somebody say, and not true. Almost true, but not true. So I also want to remind you that if you don't like this message series today, I just want to be upfront with you and honest. You won't hurt my feelings. It'll be okay. But if you find yourself pushing back kind of inwardly and maybe on the drive home, be like, I can't believe PC said that, you know, like, ah, your spouse or friend. I can't believe it, right? Like, hey, if that's you, this message is probably for you today. So lean in and say, Holy Spirit, just speak to me. I'm learning something good from it too as well. And God's been stirring in my heart a week before even today. And God's been ministering to my life and my soul and my mind and in preparation for bringing this today. So lean in. Leaders are learners. And I know we're raising leaders in this house. And you got to learn how to lead yourself in the kingdom of heaven before you can lead others. So lean in, grow in your leadership and take notes, open your Bibles, if you paper or digital or whatever, let your thumbs do the swiping. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have it up on the screen for you as well, so you can go along with us as well. So, all right, so at some point in your life, most of you will likely hit a wall. Have you ever hit a wall in your life? I've hit a few in my wall, not like a tangible, actually, I've never hit a tangible one. I've hit cars by accident, but, you know, I haven't hit too many people at least, you know, like, but anyways, you've got too much to do, like you feel like maybe you're drowning in life and you feel like you just can't take it anymore. How many have been there? I know there's moms and dads in this house as well, and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. And some of you are right there right now, and you'd say, yep, I feel like I've hit a wall in my life. And is anyone there? Is anyone want to be honest with me this morning? You kind of just hitting a wall. Maybe it's emotionally, maybe it's spiritually, maybe it's in your energy, maybe it's in focus, maybe whatever it might be. And I've got some things in my life that are really incredibly complicated going on in my relationships or workplace or maybe even your spiritual formation. Maybe there's people that you love and you can feel like it's too much some days, and you got to keep exercising that principle that we talk about, loving people 30 seconds at a time, 30 more seconds at a time. This person's annoying. 30 more seconds, God. Man, I need some grace, God. Help me have some grace. Like, things are incredibly complicated sometimes. And if you find yourself there, thankfully, modern culture has a really good feel-good message for you to rescue you and your aching soul. Like, if you're an exhausted mom and you're raising kids and you got laundry up to your ears and you're still working a full-time job and making sure groceries are in the fridge and the dust in your house is not an inch thick like mine. And you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, Some of you help me move, and you got like hairballs everywhere. Like, what's going on in PC's house here? And you feel like you're never gonna have a life. You can read the latest blogs for moms or dads. It'll tell you, remember, girl, you are enough. You are enough. Or maybe for some of you, you're fighting to stay alive financially, and every time you look at your bank account, it's in the negative again. And it seems like every month there's way more bills than there are money, way more debts than there are money. Well, the good news is you can look to your favorite YouTube influencer who will tell you, you have what it takes, boy. Let's go. If you find yourself, maybe you're just discouraged and you're overwhelmed in life and you're depressed and you're battling with anxiety and have no fear, because here's what you're going to find. You're going to find a motivational podcast that will tell you, you are complete just the way you are. Because it seems like everywhere you turn today, in culture today, you hear the message, hey, good news, you are enough. You have what it takes. You're perfect just the way you are. And for those of you men that watched the Barbie movie, this message is, you are Ken-nuff. Evidently, a lot of you are not Barbie fans. You're enough, culture says. So believe in yourself. You've got this. Just do it. You have what it takes. You define your worth. Hey, you the man. You the boss. You are in control. You write your own story. It's your narrative. You are perfect just the way you are. And you want to believe this because it sounds really inviting and it sounds really good. It feels good. You want to believe that you're enough. I want to believe that I'm smart enough. I want to believe that I'm talented enough. I want to believe that I'm good enough, strong enough. But then why is it that sometimes I really don't feel like I'm enough? Have you ever asked yourself the question, am I enough? That's the title today of the word I want to bring to you. Am I enough? Because the reason that you don't feel like you're enough is because, ready for a truth drop? I've got it here for the slide. You write it down. Without Christ, you are not enough. You're not enough. I mean, not even close to enough. And more accurately, if I could say from a theological standpoint, without Christ, we are not enough. I am not enough. You are not enough. Without Jesus, you're not even close to enough. Maybe you say, okay, PC, I get it. From a theological standpoint, if we're talking, you know, seminary terms and Bible stuff, okay, from that perspective, I get it, that I'm not enough. But what's the big deal if I just want to be encouraged in myself and believe that I have what it takes? Like, believe that I'm perfect the way, what's wrong with that? What's believing the way that I'm perfect the way I am, that I'm good enough? Like, what's wrong with believing that I'm enough? And admittedly, the you are enough cultural lie, I might say, it sounds really good and it feels really good and true to myself, but it is not true. And I would suggest that it's actually a very dangerous false gospel narrative where the Savior becomes you. And the Apostle Paul warns us in Scripture in Colossians. I've got a Scripture in Colossians 2 and 8 to 10 in the New Testament portion of your Bible. Letter from Paul to the church in Colossae. He says this. He says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from two places. Where? The first place is from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Like, he's saying, don't let anyone take you captive with the empty philosophies, the high-sounding nonsense that comes from the lies of man and from the pit of hell, from the lies of human beings even, and from the powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ, Scripture says, lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete, not on your own, not in your own strength, not by your own power, but you are complete through your union with Christ. See, without Christ, you are not enough. But when you have Christ, your union with Christ makes you complete. Is that okay? On your own, you are not enough. On your own, you are not complete. The only way we are made complete is through our union with Christ Jesus. And you might be saying now, well, PC, why are you raising your voice? You're only 2 minutes into the message. You usually do that later. And the reason is this, that this lie that culture has told us or has been preaching to us is very dangerous, extremely dangerous. It is, if we want to believe it. And what I want to do is I want to push back. And I want to help you push back today. It's incredibly destructive. And here's what happens. It will attack you generally in one of two ways. On one of two extremes might be, on the one hand, when you think, okay, I got to be enough. I got to be enough. I'm enough. I'm enough. You get up and I'm enough. You are enough. I'm enough. And then you realize when you go through that day or when you go through that trouble, when you go through that relationship strife, you realize, I wasn't enough. Then what happens? Rewind. You all been there, right? Then what happens? You feel guilty. You feel ashamed of yourself. You feel like a failure. And because you're not enough, you try so hard to be enough. What do? You take your eyes off of God and what do? You put them on yourself. Come on, PC, you got this. Come on, yeah. I don't even know what I'm doing with that, but anyway. Or on the other side of the extreme, and I've seen this time and time again, culture says you're enough, you have what it takes, you're enough, and so you start to believe, well, maybe I am enough. Look at me go. And you start to believe that you're the source of your own joy. And you're the source of your own strength. Now you are your own success, the source of your success, which I believe is dangerous because then you take your eyes off God again. You put it back on yourself. Friends, I pray that you'll hear me today and let this series etch into your heart and memory. Because here's the problem. I've got this for you. Write this down. When you believe you're enough, you won't seek the one who is. When you believe that you got it all figured out, you ain't needing God. You don't need his help. right? And when you believe you're the source of everything you need to be successful in this life, when you believe you're enough, you won't seek the one who is completion, who is enough. See, Christians become cultural Christians, meaning we have this form of godliness, but we deny the power of God in our lives, the lived out Holy Spirit in our lives, right? And we look good and we got it all figured out, and we deny the power of God to direct my finances, to direct my sexuality, to direct my identity, how I live, give, and serve. The value of the church and his body becomes a distant memory to us. Like they stop seeking the one. We sometimes stop seeking the one who is enough, because there's so many things in this world that are telling us you are enough. You can do this. And it's a lie. So let's talk about the one who is. And before we do that, I need you to help you understand just how not enough that we actually are. Because here's a problem. A lot of us, when we think, okay, I'm going to look at my life, and I know that I've messed up lots, right? We all know that. And I know I've made some mistakes. I've made some pretty dumb decisions, but I'm not that bad, PC, right? And you may compare yourself to other people. It's really easy when I compare myself to somebody else. I'm like, haha, I got a couple things figured out at least, right? Like that old boy in my class. Oh, I'm way better than him, or that person in my work that keeps failing on that, whatever it is. At least I'm not doing that, right? That, you know, that girl I work with, oh man, I mean, I'm way better than her. She's got so many problems. She's a mess. She's a hot mess. And we have to remind ourselves what God's word says about who we are without Christ. We've got to remember, and I want to take you down that lane today. You need to remember who you are, who you were without Christ. This is the part that doesn't feel good. Let me warn you, right? But it is very, very true. Without Christ, what does God's word say we are? Let me show you. Without Christ, I have this for you written down. Hopefully you can read it. We are dead in our sins, says Ephesians 2:1. Without Christ, we are without hope and without help. Without Christ, we are foolish, we are deceived, and we are slaves to sin. Without Christ, we are spiritually blind, right? Without Christ, Scripture says we are wretched and most miserable. That's right, yeah. And get ready for this. If you think it hasn't gotten that bad yet, buckle up your seatbelt, honey. It gets really ugly. Without Christ, we are objects of wrath and destined for destruction. We need to remember sometimes without Christ, this is what we are. This is who we are. Welcome to Beloved City Church, where I'm going to help you feel good about yourself today. But like, I'm not making stuff up. We like to preach some hard truths around here. Because why? Because it actually helps you grow, right? The reason it's hard to swallow is because we have been eating at culture's table rather than at the table of our good shepherd, right? The reason it's hard to swallow, which is set by demons and devils, by the way. And we as sheep who belong to Christ need to be eating at the table that our shepherd has set for us, right? Have a different tale to be eaten at, prepared by a good shepherd. It's just in the Bible, the word of God, the self-revelation of Jesus. And it's a gift to us. And I'm like, well, I ain't liking this gift today. You may say, but okay, I'm not that bad. I'm not a bad person. I have a good heart. I do good things. Which, remember, we talked about that when we first started this sermon series. Remember what Scripture says? We learned this last week in Romans 3:10. It says, tells us that no one on their own, no one is righteous, not even one, means that all of us, including you, including myself, have turned away, have rebelled against God. No one does good. Not a single one. You're like, whoa. There's some honesty, right? I thought I was doing some good things today. Like, without Christ, we are dead in our sins and objects of wrath. Now, when it comes to our sin, we don't like to talk about that very much, right? We don't like to talk about our failures. Culture doesn't want to admit, hey, I made a mistake, but not a sin, right? We'll call it something else, right? We've made it sound a little bit better, too, just more appetizing, maybe. When it comes to our sin, we like to think that we're not all that bad in our lives. And I want to say that we are actually worse than we can imagine. You're like, oh man, we are worse than we. And if we compare ourselves to some other people, we might feel better about ourselves for a short little while. But when we compare ourselves to the holiness of God, our sin is horrific. And I want to try to explain it this way. We have to realize that our sin is not just a legal or spiritual offense against a holy and a just God. It's not just like I broke the law and I sinned against a holy God. There was a legal offense against a holy and judicial God. It's so much more than that, actually. It's actually also a personal offense against a very, very relational God who loves you very much. It is very different than just breaking the law, right? It's not just a legal offense. It's relational. And I can explain it to you this way. Imagine if you get a speeding ticket and you're going too fast like PC does. And I'll just be honest, right? You don't hurt the police officer's feelings when you do that. Why? Because you broke the law. He's not going to come, or he or she not going to come. Oh, so you broke the law. No, that's not how it's going to work, right? Oh my gosh, you hurt my feelings. You're going 80 in a 50 zone. Like, what are you doing, PC? I'm like, you know, I'm so sad. No, the police officer is not going to say that. Probably never. Because you broke legal law. You broke the law. It wasn't personal. It wasn't relational. But if you sin against your spouse or your friend, it's very, very personal. It may not just be a legal offense, but it's a very, very personal. Like I've heard someone tell me once, a lady said her husband was living a whole other life, a whole lie. Like the whole thing was a sham. She was cheating. He was cheating on her emotionally and sexually and on and on and on for the duration of their newly married life. And she said, he didn't just break our vows, he broke my heart. Broke my heart. And this is what we have to understand about God when we sin against him. It's not just a legal offense like, oops, I made a mistake, got a speeding ticket. It's relational, it's personal because he loves you so much, right? We're not just breaking it, we're actually breaking God's heart when we sin against him. And you might say, okay, well, I get it, I suck today. Well, can I be honest with you? We all suck at this. We all do. We sin. No one here is without sin. You'd be like, OMG, I came to church to get me a pickup message today. Why are you telling me all this today? I was trying to come and be encouraged. Come on. Like, it's been a hard week for me. Kind of having a hard day. Why are you going to tell me that I'm depraved, that I'm an object of wrath? Or, okay, hold on. There's always good news in this house, by the way. This is a good news house. You with me still? The reason I've been telling you all this is because, like, write this down if you're still taking notes. To fully treasure what you have in Christ Jesus, you need to remember what you were without him. You got to remember. In order to know who you are, you got to know where you came from. You got to know who you were without him. Like, in order to truly value and to understand the depths of his grace, the depths of his love, honey, we got to remember that what we were long before we were saved. I was a horrible person. Did a lot, and I still do stupid things. So often we get off in la la land, living it up, doing my thing, and we'd be forgetting, if it had not been for Jesus, man, I'd still be lost in sin and brokenness and despair, and because, you know, and stuck in my loneliness and frustrated because I'd be trying to fill that Jesus-shaped hole in my heart with everything else, and then I'm disappointed and I'm confused and I'm stuffing everything I can possibly stuff in there, right? Like Chris at a buffet, like it's, you know, emptiness is still there. Every time I turn up, it's like I go home, I'm still hungry. Trying to stuff my heart full of things. Like, someone ought to give me just a small clap of your hands just for a moment there, because like what Jesus has brought you out of is significant. I think there's a couple of you that believe that still today. And I think it's worthy to remember, because if you're like me, sometimes you just do and you think, dun, 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 dun. There's a theme song in your head probably. And we just go to work, we eat, we go home, do the laundry, whatever. Now, I can't speak for you, but when I look back to who I was before Christ, it wasn't pretty, right? And even worse, when there was a time when I turned my back on Christ and his church, because I grew up in church, but there was a time when I made, a personal decision to follow Jesus. And then later on in life, I made a decision to stop following Jesus and turn my back on him and say, thanks, but I'm mad at the church right now. Mad at God, going to do it my own way. Miserable, cussing, angry, rude, spending all my money and everything. Get out of my way. I was a punk. I lied. Cheated on people that I love. I hurt my friends. I was addicted. I drank. I smoked. Like, you out of control. And so I decided to stop one day. Only I couldn't stop. And it was one night when I came home after clubbing with some friends. Drank a bunch of beers. No kids in here. Lit a bong. Let me just be honest. Is it okay if I be honest with you? Yeah. I got some brokenness too. I got a testimony too. Right? And I remember saying, like, what the heck am I doing? Why do I think this is what I is supposed to be, like what I'm supposed to do, to have fun? And I realized that in that moment that on my own strength, on my own power, my own volition, I wasn't enough in that moment. I wasn't enough. And but by the grace of God, I called on Jesus, who I remembered is the one who is who he says he is, that I make you complete in me, that without me you have nothing. I am lost. I'm separated from God, and I need his power. I need his grace, and I couldn't do it on my own. And not only did he forgive me for those things, because he's good for that, he's really good to forgive, but he also began this process of healing my heart from those things that I was hurt by the church, which that person actually had names, by the way. We say it around here, so if your name's Bob, I apologize. But it wasn't the church that hurt you, it was Bob that hurt you. Bob's sometimes a jerk. And that sometimes we got to reconcile those thoughts and those feelings. It was actually someone who said something to me that grieved me, that hurt me, that offended me. And that wasn't right, by the way. But I had some of that stuff going on up in my life, and I was trying to figure out how to deal with it. And Jesus began to heal my heart, began to change me again, change my attitude, the way I think about things, the way I thought about people, the way I think about the world around me, those who I'm interacting with. Completely new, fresh start. And you're like, why are you going to the details here? Like, because it's remembering the darkness from which I came. It's remembering my brokenness and my sinfulness that actually reminds me about God's goodness and his kindness and his forgiveness, his mercy. And so I want to encourage you today to take a moment and embrace your not enoughness just like me. Fancy word for us today. Your not enoughness. It's because without Christ, remember, you are not enough. You'll never be enough. You weren't designed to be enough. You can't be enough. And this is actually not bad news. The truth is, it's really, really good news. The good news is you don't have to be enough. Whew, someone just let their shoulders down. In fact, if you are in Christ, this is for you. And if you're not in Christ, this is also for you. If you're in Christ, Ephesians 2 says this. We're born anew by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2 tells us this. The Bible tells us that once you were dead, because of your disobedience and for your many sins, and you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of this unseen world, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of my sinful nature. Scripture says, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But somebody help me with these next two words. I highlighted for you. But God. Ooh, I love big buts in Scripture. When there's, you got to pay attention. It's like, but God. I want a t-shirt that says, but God. If it wasn't for Jesus and what he's done for me, man, I'd still be back there, messed up, lonely, distracted, frustrated, far from God, and not enjoying the pleasures that I find forevermore in Christ Jesus, the love and the joy, the peace, kindness, and the fruit of the Spirit that we get to enjoy. That excites me. But God, we were dead and lost in our sins. But God, who is so rich in mercy and loved us so much. Somebody got to praise him for that some days, right? God is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you're saved. It's only by his grace. It's only by the grace of God. It's never by your own efforts, by the way, and some religious inclination, by our own self-righteousness. It's only by his grace. And here's where we mess it up. Here we come. In the church today, a lot of us would think it would go something like this. Imagine you're in the ocean and you're drowning. And Ariana, the lifeguard's not there to save you. And you think, okay, here's what happened. God came along in a boat. God reached down his hand and grabbed me, and God pulled me toward the boat. But then I pulled myself into the boat. God did his part, and I did my part. I remember an old saying, God blesses who bless themselves. Remember the old saying? You got to work hard. You know, that's those Albertans. Did my part. Now I'm in God's boat. We work together. Look at me, bro. That's not how it works, by the way. Not how it works. You didn't do anything to save yourself. You're drowning. The truth of the matter is, if you're in the water, you're already dead. You're face down in the water, right? There's no bubbles coming up anymore. You're dead, floating there. God comes along and he reaches out and he completely pulls you up out of the water, pulls you out of your old life, pulls you out of that miry clay. That's old Pentecostals. He did everything. You did nothing. We got to remember that sometimes. Culture tells us a whole different story. You do this. You got it. You're in control. You did nothing. He did it all. We didn't do anything. This is how good he is. And some of you today, you're hitting that wall. It's too much. It's a family issue that you can't handle. You don't know what to do. It's a weight. It's a burden. It's anxiety. It's depression. It's confusion. It's fear. You're overwhelmed and you don't know what to do. Why? Some of you, here's why. You walked in spiritually dead today. You don't have Christ. You don't have the faith for it because you're not spiritually alive, right? But God, who is so rich in mercy and loves you so much, brought you here, not by accident, right? But to speak a word of life into your life today, right? A word of truth, a word of faith, a word of hope, to bring that which is dead back to life again. See, everything, the resurrection life of Jesus, everything he touches brings, comes back to life. And if you would let him touch your brokenness, let him touch those things, you won't let anybody in, you know, to see, or to, you got to hide it. Like, let him in today and let him bring that part of your life back to life. Back to life. That's why the church exists, by the way. We want to love people back to life. And we can only do that when we recognize the love of God in our lives. See, when we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, we can then love one another, right? Loving people back to life. And I know there's some testimonies in this room where you've been loved back to life. And that's why this church exists. It's a home of hope and healing. And that may be exactly what God wants to do for you today. You're not enough. You'll never be enough. You can't be enough. You weren't designed to be enough. But when you are in Christ, when he is the source of everything that you need, you have a different type of confidence. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4 says this. Whew, I love it. Such is the confidence that we have, not in our own effort, not in our own completeness, not in our own trying, not because we listen to the motivational thing in the podcast that we can do it. We only have this confidence through Christ toward God, not that we are ever sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. You thought you got that job? God gave you that job, girl. You thought you got that hubby that you sometimes don't like? God gave you that hubby. Those shoes, that whatever, that neighborhood. I can't stand my neighborhood smoking weed every day next door. Real story. But God put me in that neighborhood for a real reason. To love on my neighbors no matter what it smells like. You're not sufficient in yourself, but your sufficiency is from God. And from God alone. Friends, he, God, his name is Jesus, by the way. He is everything that we need. And that's why we call on him. So I want to speak directly to those of you who just feel like you're overwhelmed today. You don't know how much more you can take. And there's something on your mind today. You came in here today with your minds weighted with the problems of the world, with your family, whatever it might be, your money. It's weighing on your help and on your heart, sorry, and you need some help today. You're tired of pretending you got it. How are you? Good. Now you ain't good, right? You're tired of trying to look like you have it all together. And I want to encourage you to do something that maybe you've never done before. Not right now. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to encourage you to embrace your not enoughness. You were made to need Jesus. You were made to crave him. You were made for love. The world tries to tell you what love is, but you've got to look to who is love. God is love. And he's a holy love, by the way. It's not a watered down weird stuff, but there's some, and you're tired, you're trying to look like you have it all figured out. But I need you to learn today, like me, to embrace your not enoughness. And what do we need to know about who he is in order to do this? The good news is, let me show you this. The good news is, and I have it up for you. There's a few good news here. You got it? Mm-hmm. You may be helpless, but scripture says that Jesus is your helper. The word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 12 that when you were weak, Jesus is actually your strength. Man, if you walked in today and you're watching online maybe later and you're depressed, and I came to tell you that Jesus is your hope. See, when you're exhausted, I know you've been exhausted. I've been there too. Jesus says, come to me if you're weary, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, if you're anxious, I know you've had anxiety too. You're worried about the future. You're worried about the things in your life. Scripture says, hey, you can actually cast all your fears, all your anxiety on him. Because why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. And when you're anxious, Jesus becomes your peace in that moment. See, when you're struggling financially, Jesus is your provider, in Philippians 4:19. He is the one who provides everything that you need according to his riches and glory, not your enoughness, right? And when you're hurting, who is he? Jesus is your comforter, friends. And whenever you're in bondage, Jesus is a savior, the rescuer who actually sets you free from that bondage, right? Like, this is how much God loves you. He's rich in mercy, and he doesn't even make you do it on your own. He created you to need him, to want him, to desire him. Then he comes and he completes you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. So what I want to do now is I want to bring the application. You love application? I love application. This is important. Whenever you preach a message, you're always going to ask yourself, so what next? This is the word of God. So what? So what are we going to do about it? This is the application. This is the question you're going to ask yourself in your city groups this week and at the dinner table today, around your dinner. If you're not in a city group, guess what? You're going to get into a city group, right? You're going to get in one, because two are better than one, right? Like, if one falls down, hey, the other can pick you back up. Whenever there's two or three gathered together, the presence of God is right there with you, right? It's just beautiful, and we're going to sharpen one another. Iron sharpens iron, and we're going to encourage one another, you know, the daily, as long as it's called today, right? And in your city groups, we're going to ask this question. We're going to talk about it. Here we got it. Here it is. Question one. In what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of? Where do you think you've got the completion? Where do you think you got enough, that you are enough? That where are you relying on yourself instead of God? When I was honest with myself this week, there's a lot of areas of my life that I rely on my own power, my own intellect, my own abilities. And I sometimes don't even bring God into it. Maybe you're trying to figure out your future. And if I do this and I do that, and this and that, go there. Maybe it's your kids or your spouse and you've got the spiritual gift of control. Right? I'm going to get it up in there. I'm going to make them do it. I'm going to put them. I'm just going to try and control whatever it is in this situation. It might be a financial situation for you today. Maybe it's the health of a dear friend, someone you love dearly, and their health is suffering. And you've got to trust your friend to God in this situation, this time. What area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God? And then ask yourself this question. Question two, what is God calling you to do about it? What's he calling you to do it? Because we don't just hear the word. We're not just hearers of the word, but we're also doers of the word. We're going to actually live it out, right? What God teaches, maybe it's to surrender. Maybe it's to confess your need for him. Maybe it's to invite someone else in to help you. An accountability partner, maybe it's to turn over some area of your life and be like, I'm just not doing that anymore, God, I repent of that. Maybe it's to get others to come and join you in your prayer life. I don't know, whatever it is. But what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God, and what is God calling you to do about it? But if you're hurting today, if you're overwhelmed, if you realize, I'm not enough. Now, you know, I can't be enough. I'm not designed to be enough. I don't even have enough. I'll never be enough. I'm not good, whatever it is. I'm not righteous enough. What do you do? Let me tell you what you can do. You can call on the one who is more than enough. You call on the one who is more than enough. You call on him. And this isn't transactional, by the way. This isn't a legal relationship. This is a relational relationship. When you call on God, God loves it when you need him. Because he's a good father, right? He designed you to need him. So what do you, just call on him. Really simple. He's not going to beat you over the head with a bat from heaven like Thor maybe does. He's a bad God. Jesus is loving. And our good father is like, he comes alongside you, the Holy Spirit called the Paraclete. He designed you to need him. So you call him. Call, and here's what scripture says. God says to you, I think I have this. When you call on the Lord, here's what he does. When you call on Jesus, here's what God says to you. He says, I think I have it on a slide. Do you have it on a slide, Blaine? Call to me, and God says, I will answer you, Jeremiah 33:3. God's word says, call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. That's Psalms 50 and 15. Scripture says in Psalms 145 that the Lord is near to all. Who do what? All who call on him. When I am distressed, what do? I call to you. Psalms 60 or 86 and 7 says, I love this verse. Everyone listen to me. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how dark your life is, every one of us, every single one of us, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. We'll be transformed, we'll be forgiven, we'll be made new, we'll be made complete. The old is gone, and behold, you are a new start. You have become brand new. And that's really, really good news, friends. You weren't designed to be enough. It will never be enough. And so instead, what do? You depend on the one who is, because his power is made perfect. Where? The Bible says, in your weakness. His power is made perfect in your weak. Where you're weak, let God be the power today. His power is made perfect in your stress. His power is bigger than your stress, honey. His power is bigger than your fears. For my God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. His power is bigger than your anxiety. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. His power is bigger than a rebellious child. His power is bigger than your worst mistake. His power is bigger than your dumbest financial decisions. Trust me, he really is. His power is bigger than a number on a scale, by the way. You aren't defined by that number, just so you know. You're defined by who he says you are. His power is bigger than a betrayal. Maybe you've been betrayed in your life, but his power is bigger than that. It's bigger than a letdown. Some of you have been let down in your life, but his power is bigger than that. Right? His power is bigger than the divorce that left you broken and hurting, by the way. His power is bigger than the miscarriage that sidelined you because you've been trying for a long time. His power is bigger than the diagnosis that keeps you awake at night. Friends, you got to hear me. His power is bigger. See, our God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than all you can ask or think or imagine according to his power that is at work within you, the body of Christ, so that he would be praised for generations to come. His power is made perfect in your weakness. You got to remember, it's your weakness. Whenever you're not enough, that's where his perfect power shows up. So just embrace it. I'm not enough. I'm okay, honey. God embraces my weakness, and his power is sufficient in me. You could never be enough, but you're always loved, friends. Because he is enough, and you are so loved, and you are so rescued, you're so secure. For those of you who are wrestling with insecurity, you are loved, you are rescued, you are secure in Christ Jesus. You are accepted, you are chosen, you are forgiven. You are adopted into a family called his body. You are freed, and you are redeemed, and you are restored back to life. Renewed. And you can do all things not on your own because you're not complete, but through Christ Jesus, who gives you strength, you find completion in him. All around the room, let's pray, friends, together.